Welcome to the Adventures of a Disney Dad podcast. I'm Matt, a dad of three, travel agent, and together with my co-host Chip, a dad of five, we bring you expert advice, insightful interviews, and updates for your next family vacation to Walt Disney World and Universal Orlando. Happy halfway to Halloween. This week we are going to be catching you up on all the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party news that dropped today and answering all of your listener questions. Let's get right into it. Chip, big news from Walt Disney World today. Everybody's been kind of clamoring for it. We got this news a little earlier last year, so people were starting to theorize that Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party wasn't happening. There were viral videos on TikTok. There were people were losing their minds, and that was just last Friday, I think. So we've got big announcements. Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party is going to start even earlier than last year. It's going to start August 9th and run through Halloween. Last year, if you remember, it started August 11th. Chip, I think you and I are in the same boat here that August, like the first or second week of August, is too early for Halloween stuff, in my opinion. Chip, what do you think?
Yeah, so I texted you that this morning when I saw the dates and said I thought it was maybe they were pushing it till September. Now, my birthday's August 11th, and I think last year was on a Friday. And I think that's with leap year, that's why it fell on the 9th. So just staying true to what it is, that second week of August. But it's still way too early, dude. It's going to be 110 degrees in Orlando. Like, unless that chocolate's frozen, there's I would hate to be that parent going back and putting it away.
Listen, I'll still be happy to go at the beginning of August just because I'll be happy to go at any time. But it's really early for Halloween stuff. And I think it really does kind of draw in kind of crowds for August. It's a little bit of a draw. And the good thing is there's variable pricing with the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. So prices this year have increased. They're going to be between $119 per person to $199 per person. The prices are going to increase as they get closer to Halloween. That first party is probably going to be a little on the expensive side just because of all the bloggers, influencers, and everybody else. It's always going to sell out, and it'll probably sell out pretty quickly. For DVC and annual pass holders, keep in mind you're going to be able to get $10 off those tickets, but only if you are going in August or September. You cannot get a discount on any of the party tickets in October, which to me was a little bit of a surprise, but nevertheless, we march on.
I was going to say, do you remember a couple of years ago they sold the pass to locals that they could go to? It might have been like $300 or whatever, but you can go to any Halloween party as long as it wasn't sold out.
Yeah, I do remember that. And they always kind of do interesting things for Florida locals, and we're not them. So I don't get too caught up in it. But I think that kind of thing would be neat to be able to have like a pass to come to multiple parties or something of that nature, especially for people that go down frequently.
Yeah, and Holly, nice. Remember, I think Holly had that for our friend Holly that we had on the show. She had that for Halloween Horror Nights. So.
Yeah, and cool. I just talked to Holly. Speaking of Holly Carter, one of our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel, she is going to be coming back on to talk about all of Universal's new updates. So we're going to have her back on in a couple of weeks. I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm sure she'll be able to fill us in on the rumors of Halloween Horror Nights and that kind of fun stuff too. But sticking with Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, there were a couple other new things that were announced. Nothing major, right? There's not any major changes coming.
The big thing they're bringing back is in the Haunted Mansion, the live characters, and then the same thing in Pirates of the Caribbean. Isn't that what I read? That the one guy's going to be standing over the bridge talking to the... And I've seen videos of that. It's funny.
I think that's cool. Like the little subtle touches on the rides, but it's not anything huge. The big change, and I would call it big for families and parents, is the first Boo to You parade is going to be 1 hour earlier at 8:15. So it previously started at 9:15, and 8:15 to me is a really welcomed change. Chip, you didn't do the Halloween party last year, right?
No, which that leads me to my next question. What time does the party officially start then?
The party officially starts at 7.
Okay.
You can get in at 4, and this is assuming that they go based on years past, but you can get in at 4. Party will officially start at 7. That's when they'll kick everybody else out. First parade will be at 8:15. And I think that's a big deal. When we went last year, one of our biggest complaints was trying to keep the kids out until, you know, later hours. The first parade being at 9:15 was always the more popular one. And then your kids are zonked, right? Like you finish that first parade and you're basically done. So when it starts at 7 and you watch like the Sanderson sisters or the opening show, you maybe go meet a character or do a ride or do a trick or treat spot. You have to come back to get a parade slot. You do the parade and the party's basically over if you've got little kids at that point. So to me, 8:15 is a good opportunity for parents and kids with, you know, parents with kids and little ones. And it also, I think, takes the pressure off of hopefully Jack and Sally and some of the other popular characters.
Oh yeah, good call.
So if you can skip that first parade, that'll be the most popular one. Then you maybe are not going to have to wait the 4 hours for Jack and Sally, or I think we waited like an hour and 15 minutes for Prince, Eric, and Ariel. I think we just got unlucky that night, but the characters, are at Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party are very, very popular. I tend to think the trick or treating is not as fit, but it's going to be back this year. And as Chip said, in August, it'll probably be melted and everything else, but it's free candy for the kids and they enjoy it.
And I think the one thing with that is if you're going to go trick or treating, that's the big thing you want to do. Like my wife grew up on a farm. She didn't grow up trick or treating, so she would have loved this. Bring an extra bag, because the bag they give you, honestly, if you go through two different trick or treat stations, it's full. And they're just going double hand scoops and dumping it in there.
So they're giving you a good amount of stuff, that's for sure.
Yeah. And so just if that's one of your priorities, bring an extra bag and put it in there. Like you're taking a break. Like we take a break on our trick or treat and stop at home and unload. So that's a big tip. Yeah,
absolutely. If you don't have like great trick or treating wherever you live, it's a very, very fun opportunity to do that. And you can certainly dress up. I think doing costumes and family costumes is encouraged. There are some loose restrictions. You can't have dresses that touch the ground. Can't have anything that looks like it would be a real weapon. Nothing sharp, no like scary masks, nothing that can scare kids, anything like that. But I think the closest that I saw was the zombie guy from the Sanderson sisters movie. Why is the name of it escaping me? Hocus Pocus. The zombie guy, I saw him and he had it was a great costume, but I think that's like the borderline in terms of where they would say it's a little too scary for little kids. So keep those things in mind, but definitely, you know, have costumes, get a Taylor Joel dress, and then, you know, get some characters. You get a lot of really low wait times on rides and things like that, but we'll talk more about the party as we get a little bit closer, and we've also got some questions about it later here in the show.
Be careful with costumes in August.
That's for sure. It's going to be hot. The new dance party is going to be inspired by the new Descendants movie that premieres in July. I don't get the Descendants hype, but I get them promoting it because there is going to be a new movie. The big thing is that they're going to keep the Disney Junior dance party at Cosmic Rays, which is a huge hit for little kids. Yeah. So I think that's awesome. Chip, have your kids ever watched any of the Descendants movies?
Yeah. So my oldest, Kenzie, she's 9, 10. She's kind of hitting that age where she loves Bluey, but she likes watching the Descendants and we've seen them all. So
I think my kids are just too young is what it comes down to.
It's that preteen type of she's starting to get there. So
it's what we were watching on like the Disney Channel original movies, I guess. It's that generation's version.
Yeah.
With Smart House and Xenon of the 21st century.
21st century, yeah.
Zetus Lapidus. Anyway, moving on. Yes, Johnny Tsunami. Now that we've aged ourselves. The other new stuff is there's going to be new outfits for Mickey. Nothing crazy, but they do look very cool. Bruno is going to be making his character meet appearance with Mirabelle, so that'll be a fun new character meet. There's some merch teasers that were posted. You can check those out on our website, adventuresofadisneydad.com. Some spirit jerseys, kind of the normal stuff, new ears, new mugs, new pins, new lounge fly, you know, kind of what you would expect. Very cool colors, I think. I like the spirit jersey a lot. And then Chip, I know you're going to love this, and I specifically didn't mention it to you because I wanted you to think I was going to skip it. The Disney Treasure got a little teaser for its bar/parlor based on the Haunted Mansion. And Chip, it was just a little bit of a tease, right? It's just some artwork and a little bit of an aquarium, but it looked really, really, really cool. What did you think as a huge Disney Cruise Line fan and a Haunted Mansion fan? What did you think in general?
Yeah, so the first thing I noticed is it looks like it's going to be in the same area as Hyperspace Lounge is. It looks a little small, but I like that it's bringing its own Haunted Mansion to the cruise. I think that was my initial thing, because I'm like looking at the characters that they're using. I'm like, I don't remember them in Haunted Mansion. Maybe they are. Maybe I'm just not an expert on that. But it was like, oh, they're bringing a haunted ship kind of feel. I really liked it, because I also got a little bit of the vibes for the 20 Leagues Under the Sea. Maybe there's going to be a little bit of a correlation there. I don't know. But I was fired up. I sent it to you and you didn't respond. So I wondered what was up with that.
I specifically ignored you because I wanted you to think that I was going to ignore it on the show. But we got to have a little bit of a teaser for Disney Cruise Line. So we very much appreciated that. And it is a fun little update there. Before we get into our listener questions, I do want to mention that the easiest way to support everything we do on the podcast, our website, the newsletter, is to book a trip with us. Our travel agent services are completely free. I am a travel agent with the Magic for Less Travel. Any opportunity you have to book your trip through us, we greatly appreciate it. It supports our business and the costs, and it costs you absolutely nothing. So we very much appreciate your support. That said, let's jump into the listener questions for the week. Chip, we had a really fun question from Jarrett, and I specifically asked him when he was messaging me on Instagram that I wanted to talk about this on the podcast because it really hits home for what you and I really started this show for. And he mentioned that he is an expert in planning adults' trips to Walt Disney World. But for the first time, he's got his sister and his niece. His niece is 3 years old. He's never taken young kids to Disney before, and he wanted to know what our tips and tricks and advice for him is. He also mentioned he needs a Cinderella's Royal Table reservation. They're going in June, and his niece is really into princesses. So this to me is, I think it's a really great example of what I typically see from guests at the Magic for Less and all of our listeners on the show. They've got little kids. They're going for the first time or haven't been a lot, and they're looking for some advice. So Chip, generally, let's just, what are your thoughts and your overview for somebody that's in this situation?
So the first thing is, like, for the Cinderella's Royal Table, is check daily. I know we recommend using Thrill Data, however you want to pronounce it, put in for that reservation. I know there's a couple other websites that'll do that, that'll find your reservation for you. I had really good luck booking my ADRs a couple weeks ago. I texted you that, and I found Cinderella's Royal Table a couple days later too, if I wanted it. I chose not to, but it'll probably pop up. Just be checking your app or put a Thrill Data notification on. That's probably the biggest thing if that's what you want to do. But if you can't do it, we're going to Akershus for breakfast. My wife's like, if we're not gonna go to Cinderella's Royal Table, let's go to Akershus for my daughters, and we're going to go do breakfast there, just because the dinner menu, the Norwegian, isn't probably up our alley, but breakfast is, it's hard to screw up a good breakfast.
Yeah. I would really recommend 1900 Park Fair. If you got someone that's into princesses, it's a good opportunity. It's been harder to find. I've been looking like for Solo in late June to go there, and I can't find anything. So it's definitely not easy. But the other thing I'll tell you is, and I tell this to people all the time, is to split up your party. So if you've got six, looking for reservations of four and two that start around the same time, looking for reservations of three and three start around the same time. Another option is, if you've got six, booking a reservation for five, if that's available, booking a reservation for seven, if that's available. And the reason being, when you get there, they're usually flexible within one person, or flexible within one infant or child. So if you can get a reservation for five and you've got six, or you've got somebody that adds on, you're usually going to be okay. So I would grab any of those that you can find. But usually if you've got those bigger parties, splitting it solves the problem. Chip, I know you experience that all the time.
Yeah, so we're a family of seven naturally, but my mom and stepdad are going with us. So we're a party of nine this trip. There were very few restaurants that had party of nines right at opening like Homecoming had it. I'm trying to think, but maybe Boma, but like the majority of my reservations are five and four. And my wife and I talked and said, hey, our older kids will go sit with my mom and stepdad if they need to, or we'll try and get nine. So we've already talked
a lot of times they'll put the tables together. Like when you get there and you say, yeah, we're actually a group, they'll squeeze them together or they'll put you right next to each other. It all works out. If I have somebody, if I have guests that I'm booking dining for and the party is more than four, even at that point, I'm usually looking for the popular stuff to split it up right away. Yeah. Because there's just not as much availability, especially beyond five. It's just a lot harder because there's not as much, you know, table space and things like that to accommodate it. So it just works out that way sometimes. And definitely when it comes to the dining reservation notifications, use Thrill Data. There are other websites, as Chip pointed out, but you should not spend money on dining notifications. Thrill Data does it for free, so use them, and they get it to you just as quickly via email.
Another tip is make sure you stay on the child's schedule. If they take a nap in the afternoon, go take a nap and take a break. That's the big thing. Or if they're a multi-nap day, try and stay as close to their schedule because that's where you'll have your most success.
And I think the other thing that you'll be surprised with is how much they enjoy rides.
Oh, yeah.
With a three-year-old, I think you go into it thinking that they're not going to be able to ride much, or that they, you know, may be scared or not interested. At three, my kids were ready to ride pretty much everything. And I know that that's your mileage may vary kind of thing, but you've got most stuff at Walt Disney World, they're going to be able to ride because they're designed for little kids like that. So especially in places like Magic Kingdom, they're going to be able to ride most everything other than, you know, Tron and Big Thunder Mountain. Big Thunder Mountain, they'll be close. My son rode Big Thunder Mountain at three.
I think you're probably more likely to get on Big Thunder than you might be on Seven Dwarfs. I think Seven Dwarfs, well, they might be both 40 inches. Mm-hmm. 40 or 38 inches is kind of that line. I think Tron's the only one that's questionable over there.
Yeah, I think they're going to be able to ride most. So you'll be surprised on that front, and I think they'll really enjoy it. A big piece of advice that I would give is to make sure you do the order of the rides appropriately. Yeah. So try riding Barnstormer first, or try riding Slinky Dog Dash is a great one to start out with. Ride those rides before you're jumping into Big Thunder Mountain and Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Yeah. Because you need to progress, you know, in a logical way with a little kid. Don't go trying to ride Tower of Terror.
I think the big one, I would stay away from Space Mountain just from the fact you don't sit next to the child.
I still haven't let my kids ride Space Mountain. So yeah. I agree with that 100%.
I think that's the big one.
Make sure they ride the People Mover. It's the best ride at Walt Disney World. And the big thing too, when you get somebody that has little kids that love princesses, make sure you prioritize Epcot. I think that often gets overlooked or becomes secondary to making sure they experience everything at Magic Kingdom. But if they love princesses, they're only going to meet, three at Magic Kingdom, assuming you don't consider Mirabelle a princess, right? They're going to get Elena of Avalor, Tiana, Rapunzel, and Cinderella. So four. Elena of Avalor is the other one that I always forget is a princess. So
yeah,
you get four. Sometimes you can get Snow White. But if you go over to Epcot, you're going to get basically all of them. You get Jasmine, yeah, Snow White, Aurora, Elsa and Anna, the Asha's Alice, there now.
Alice in Wonderland's over there.
Yeah, you'll get, and then there's also Pooh and Figment, Chip's favorite. There's a lot of good characters.
Joy's in there.
Joy, poor Joy. She never gets any love.
Never. Oh, it's a great character. We had a great time.
We did. I had to go up and get a selfie with Joy because there was literally nobody giving her any kind of love. And by June, I mean, assuming they're going after June 10th, Communicore Hall, Mickey and Friends character meet is going to be open at Epcot. So there's going to be a ton of characters to be able to do there. And then there's also a lot of fun rides like the Frozen Ever After, Ratatouille. Great options for little kids.
And going to the countries like Mulan's in China, right?
Which was weird. We couldn't find Mulan when we were there.
I think it was, I've seen her there multiple times. I just think we went at like the wrong like half hour or hour or whatever.
That was such a weird thing. And that reminds me, as a side note, I had somebody ask me the other day, and I just want to mention this because it's like perfect timing. Somebody asked me the other day, what's the worst snack I've had at Walt Disney World? You know where I'm going with this, but what was yours? What is yours?
I didn't think the pepperoni rolls were anything to write home.
No,
they didn't have cheeseburger. I would like the cheeseburger. The pepperoni rolls just were like, it was just average for me.
Oh man, that hurts my soul. Yeah. He's talking about the pepperoni spring rolls at Magic Kingdom. And oh my gosh, I love them so much. For me, it was hands down the orange chicken in the China Pavilion. We got it when we were there at Epcot with Chris and Chip. And it was the worst piece of food I've ever had at Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
And I'm not exaggerating.
It's the quick service in China. It's not it was the chicken. The chicken was terrible. Like the sauce was all right. We liked the sauce, right?
And to that point, Chris gave us a great tip on this. Tortuga Tavern at Magic Kingdom has chicken tenders tossed in that orange chicken sauce. And that was phenomenal. And it really did like ride home that it was the chicken itself was what was bad. Yeah. It was terrible. I took like two bites of it and just threw the whole thing away. It's like wasting like $14.
And Tortuga's only open like 11 to 5 or noon to 5. So just be aware of that over in Magic Kingdom across from Pirates.
Yep. And so then let's get into some more listener questions. So one of the big ones that came out of today was, how early should you book your tickets for Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party? And are there any discounts available? We've already touched a little bit on the DVC and annual pass discounts. Don't expect any other discounts whatsoever. Chip, how early do you usually buy party tickets?
The moment I know I'm going. Once my flights are booked, I mean, because my trip that we're going in June changed a little bit, but our dates were similar. So once I knew my flights were booked, I would go from there. Or however you're traveling.
The capacity at these events is high. Don't expect low crowds at these parties. It doesn't work that way. They sell a lot of tickets, and it is going to be crowded. But that said, like, you should make sure, especially if you're booking in October or if you're looking at the first Halloween party or anywhere in October, you should make sure that you're booking it right away. So, which tickets go on sale May 8th, the day this episode's going to be coming out. So make sure you're reaching out to me or if you have a different travel agent or if you're doing it yourself, do it right away. Get those tickets locked in. If you don't have a reservation at Walt Disney World, you're not going to be able to purchase tickets until the 15th. So keep that in mind too, the basic general public. So you can always book your reservation. If you think you're going, it's a $200 completely refundable deposit until 31 days before your vacation. So I've had several emails today of people thinking that they may go in September. And I told them it's like 30% off rooms right now. Like it is.
Yeah.
September is arguably the cheapest month to go to Walt Disney World, September and August. Great promotions. Book it and put the $200 down right now. And then if you decide you want the Halloween party tickets, get them. But cancel.
Non-refundable?
The party tickets are non-refundable.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, but you can keep in mind, like, at least you have that option to book them before the 15th to get the tickets if you book a reservation. And if you're going to wait 4 or 5 days from now to make that decision, just cancel the reservation if you decide against it. It's no harm done. You'll get a full refund on the $200 deposit. So keep that in mind too, especially because those like value resort rooms for the September dates where it's like 30% off, those are going to go pretty quickly once people start booking, deciding they're going to do the Halloween party and doing that kind of stuff. So book them as soon as you can is the short answer, but especially the case if you're thinking about going for the dates in October or the first party of the year. Next question was, can you share some tips for first timers attending the Halloween party? What should they absolutely not forget? We'll obviously go into this in a lot more detail once we find out all the fun ins and outs of what's going to be happening at this year's Mickey Not So Scary Halloween party. Right now, we're just at halfway to Halloween. So we'll talk about this in a little detail. But what are some general thoughts do you have, Chip?
I think the Booty U Parade, I think you can't miss it. Just because there's some unique characters, they're dressed up differently. I think that's the big one. Other than that, I mean, it's whatever you want to do. If you're a character person, go see the character. If you want to trick or treat. And I know where our next question is going to go to, and I don't think that's a priority in my opinion, but I just do whatever you want to do, whatever you prioritize. I think that's, if it's the Sanderson sisters stage show, the stage show, the fireworks, whatever you guys value and you think you get out of your money. I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah. And it's going to be different for everybody because like for me, my family's not going to prioritize trick or treating. That's an easy one. We're not going to waste time doing the trick or treating lines. Yeah. Well, and that's what I'm saying. So it's completely different, like based on your experience, because those trick or treating lines are not short and they do move fast. You get a lot of candy, but they're not short. So it really comes down to like, what do you want to spend your time doing? I also like with our family, because we go to Disney World frequently, we're less likely to ride rides. And I think a lot of people, you know, that if you go to Disney World somewhat often, or if you're going on a longer trip, the rides are going to be there on a different day. Now the stage show, the Boo to You parade, Jack and Sally, some of the unique characters that you see, they're not. So to me, prioritize the stuff that you can't get on a normal park day or on a different trip. Those are the things you should be trying to prioritize. But I would also tell you, be very, very realistic. And I talked about this in our newsletter today. Be very realistic about what your kids can handle. This is a long day. Like last year we did a pool day, the first half of the day at Animal Kingdom Lodge. And then we went to the party in the evening. It is a full day. This is like for your kids, you're going to be out late at night. One thing I will mention too, is like the fireworks to me is not like all that special. I feel that way about the Christmas party also. I would much rather watch Happily Ever After, but I'm a Happily Ever After stan, so that's a little bit different. But the fireworks, I think, are something that's skippable so that you can try and do some of the other things while you're doing it. But keep your expectations in check for how late your kids are going to be able to go, how quickly you're going to be able to get some of this stuff done, because you'll be in for a reality check very quickly. I mean, I think, Chip, remember we talked about it last year. We went straight to Jack and Sally when it opened. And I think it was actually technically before the party opened. So after 4 p.m., but before the 7 p.m. start. And the Jack and Sally line was like 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, I think you texted me like 6 o'clock and said, dude, the line is 3 hours and it hasn't even started yet.
It was absolutely insane. So like the one thing that my kids wanted to do was meet Jack and Sally, and it was scrapped right from the get-go because we were not going to spend 3 hours. Yeah. And at the Christmas party, I met him with no line at all. So it's weird. So keep those things in mind, but we're going to talk a lot more about the Halloween party as we get closer to August, which is going to be a little crazy because we're going to be deep diving Halloween in August, not just halfway to Halloween. The next question was, what are the best dining options during Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party? Are there special menus or themed foods that guests should try? Chip, I do want to mention really quickly, there are going to be fireworks dessert parties available. Those are going to be an additional cost on top of the party ticket, so keep that in mind. And this really goes to like how crowded these things are. They're still just as crowded as a normal Happily Ever After that you would be inclined to want a VIP area to have a place to sit to watch the fireworks. But that said, I think Casey's is open, Tony's Town Square is open, Cinderella's Royal Table is going to be open.
Yeah, Cosmic Rays will have the funky menu. Last year they did the burger, like the all blacked out burger.
They'll have some fun stuff once it gets closer.
They do the more of the thing, and that's kind of where I was saying in the last question is the dining. It could be hit or miss depending on what you like. My recommendation, probably Matt's, is go eat away from the park before you go in. Enjoy maybe going to Steakhouse 71 or going over and eating that Grand Flow Cafe or getting a quick service at your resort, whatever it is. Just eat before you get there, because you got to think everybody else is going to be eating at some point. You might as well be ahead of the game, and you can pick up a snack, get some popcorn, whatever, or maybe get the cupcake of whatever they're having. But don't be afraid to just avoid that eating there, because
you can't waste your time on a table service. Like sitting down to Cinderella's Royal Table, like you can do that a different day. There's no way I would recommend, and Chip, you certainly wouldn't either, sitting down for that kind of a restaurant. I don't think Be Our Guest is going to be open. I need to confirm that. One other thing I didn't touch on in the news, and this was really interesting because it was a stealth edit. Did you see this, Chip? I think I talked about it on Instagram. They did announce initially that Tiana's Bayou Adventure would be open and available during the party. It was in the My Disney Experience app. It was on the website. I posted a screenshot of it at Adventures of a Disney Dad on Instagram. If you're not following, check that out. But the Disney, like an hour later, removed it.
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't know what to make of that, man. Like the June 9th through 11th is the media previews for Tiana's Bayou Adventure. There's no way they're going to wait until like late August, right?
I think that they're going to do like a virtual queue, my guess is. Like they would, like an after hours, extended evening hours type of thing where at 6 o'clock you can join the virtual queue. So, but the other thing was, I don't think because they haven't announced the date, they don't want to say, oh, it's definitely going to be open, where maybe something, there's a malfunction between now and then that they don't want to say it's open and it's not open. So,
well, and the weird part is like, I would think that since they had it already ready, the virtual queue language would have been in there if they were going to do that. But this is all this is all speculation. Who knows? Tiana's is going to open. It's going to open sometime in the next few months. But I like the timing of all of it is bizarre to me. And I get a lot of DMs on Instagram about Tiana's and when it's going to open and people speculating. And the biggest thing that I think we've talked about that's odd is if you look at media previews, June 9th through the 11th, if they were to do cast member previews, DVC previews, and annual pass holder previews for the next 3 weeks, that puts them opening July 4th, which I just don't think is logical. I can't, they don't need to draw crowds. It's already going to be insanely crowded. I can't see them opening it in the week around July 4th. That just doesn't make sense to me, but they know much better than I do. And we'll find out whenever we find out and keep everybody informed. But I did find that stealth edit to be a little interesting. Like, are they really going to drag this thing out until, you know, after the first party and sometime in August? Well, I sure hope not.
I hope not.
So let's start the last question we've got here, Chip. For families traveling with young children, how scary is Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party? And what are some of the kid-friendly activities?
I think the scariest part, and my kids would think it's scary, is the headless horseman at the beginning of the parade. I think it's awesome, but my kids would be like, this isn't, like they would freak out about it. That's probably the only thing that I would say is truly scary, unless you don't like Clarabelle the cow. I mean,
Chip, I you know, it's so funny that you say that. My son was watching the Boo to You parade on YouTube on the TV this morning, and my wife walked in the room and sees the headless horseman at the beginning. And she specifically said, it is funny that it's not so scary. And they started off with the headless horseman. Like that is literally, I think, the only scary thing. There's some aspect of like all of it together can make the Haunted Mansion or, you know, some of that stuff to be a little bit, I think
Sanderson sisters, I mean, them, I don't, maybe if that's like the witch part of it, I mean, but I don't think, I mean, other than the headless horseman, I don't think there's anything that I would be like, I do not like any of that stuff. I'm not a Halloween person. I go trick or treating and that's about it. Cause I'm a scaredy cat. So the headless horseman, I think is sweet. Other than that, like I don't think it's scary at all.
And it's your normal Disney villains, right? It's, you know, Hades and Scar and Maleficent, Evil Queen, all of those characters, and they say that there's gonna be a lot more of the villain character meet and greets. I'm sure the villain from Tiana's is gonna be a factor. He's in the show, but I would imagine he's gonna be part of the character meet. I always forget. Yes, but I'm sure he's gonna have a role in the party. And we'll see that, you know, whenever that news comes out. But I don't think it's a scary event. It really is not so scary. It's something that's great for kids. And there's a lot of great activities for little kids. The Disney Junior Dance Party's one. All the character meets. Little kids are going to have a blast. My kids were 5 and 3 and 1 at the time. Absolutely loved it. And they can't wait to go back. So I would highly recommend it. And the last thing, and Chip, we have not gone, so we can't speak for 2024, but there was a lot of hubbub on Twitter about this being like not worth it and it's so expensive. $200 for the party, yada, yada, yada. Chip, what's your take on whether or not the Halloween party is worth it in terms of cost?
For me, the Halloween, we're not a Halloween family. At the end of the day, we're not. So personally, we would go to the Christmas party over the Halloween. But if I'm down there, 100% we're going to do the Halloween party. It's a once in a lifetime type of ordeal that if you do it once, okay. If you don't ever do it again, that's fine. But your kids are probably going to enjoy it. Yes, it happens every year, but you don't have to do it every year. I think that's where it comes down to, like, do you find the value in it? Do you, like, I wouldn't buy a park ticket that day, and I would do what you did where you went to the pool in the morning, but then came in at 4 and did rides up for the first 3 hours and then started doing the party. That's just what I would do. If we're talking after-hour events altogether, then we're talking a different animal. But the Halloween party, I think it would be worth it if you're down there during that time.
And we were asked if after-hours events as a whole are worth it, and we'll save that question for a different day because I think each after-hours event is a different answer. And the Halloween party in particular, what I find interesting about the Halloween party, and I had a guest this morning ask me about getting a quote in December to be able to go to the Christmas party or a quote in September to be able to go to the Halloween party. And the difference for the same number of days, same number of tickets was like $900 cheaper to go in September versus the first week in December. First week in December is like not the most expensive either. So, you know, to be able to save like $900, you like that covers your tickets for a family of four right there. So just going in September is a good opportunity to save money in other areas, tickets, resort, things like that. Flights are going to be cheaper. So you have other savings where it all kind of evens out. And the other benefit of doing the party is that you're removing a day of tickets that you would probably normally purchase. So if you're going on a 6-day vacation, instead of buying 4 days of park tickets, you're going to buy 3, which is going to save you a little over $100 per person anyway. So, you know, the net is probably $80 a person difference. And I think it's absolutely worth it. Now, would I plan an entire vacation to go just for the Halloween party? Probably not. I'm planning the Walt Disney World vacation in September for all the other reasons we talked about. The weather's getting cooler. It's cheaper. There's like great, great promotions and discounts, 30, 35% off all over the place. The flights are cheaper. It's easier to take your kids out of school for, you know, like we try to do. We'll take the kids out on Friday and Monday so that we leave like Thursday, come back Monday. Kids are back in school Tuesday. They basically miss two or 3 days of school. Great opportunity there. So keep those things in mind. But I absolutely think it's worth it. I think it's ridiculous to say that it's, you know, like everything right now in the world is expensive. Like that's the world. Unfortunately, that's the world we live in. Like you could talk about the economy. You could talk about the politics. You talk about all those things. But the reality is like it's a really, they give you a lot of value. They give you a lot of entertainment for, you know, what, 6, 7, 8 hours of your time because you get in at 4 o'clock. So there's a lot of good stuff there. So
I would also like the last thing I'll finish with is if you're going to go in August, go. Like as a teacher, that might be my only time where I can go is in August. Now I coach football and you've seen my schedule and pretty much my summer's booked up, so I can't go. But if I could, I would go in August before school started. If our trip fell on that part. So I think I agree with you. Don't plan it just because if it falls in there, go do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's going to wrap it up for our episode this week. We really appreciate you listening and always appreciate the support. If you have a moment and you could like, rate, review the podcast on whatever platform you prefer, we would greatly appreciate it. You can find us for any questions, comments, or suggestions on Instagram. I am at Adventures of a Disney Dad. Chip, where can people find you?
At Robinson Dad Life on Instagram.
And as always, if you're interested in having me assist you in planning your next Universal or Disney vacation, please feel free to reach out. All the links to get a free quote are in the show notes. Our services are completely free to you, and we would love to help you plan your next dream Walt Disney World or Universal Orlando vacation. And with that, we will see you in the parks.
We'll see you when we see you.